Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican
Marty girl. Robbins. That's an Arizona artist.
Nighttime would find me.
We had author Jim West in early this morning talking about the history of twang and rockabilly music in Arizona and all of the local Arizona artists that made their name back in the 50s and the 60s. Back when Phoenix was a little bitty town, less than a million people, just about 500,000 people, a little village in the desert. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, and we appreciate you doing so. If you're trying to tackle a project around your house, home, castle, or cabin, you can give us a ring at the toll-free number 1-888-767-4348. I'm in studio this morning. Romy is out on the road, actually. We'll be talking to him just a little bit later in this hour about what's going on up at the Crawfish Festival at Bison Ranch, just outside the other side of Heber Overgaard. My wife, sweet Jennifer's in the call screeners booth, prepared to take your call. If you ring in, she'll get your name, where you're calling from, and what your project is. And then we've got Mike Reisch, our broadcast engineer, also backed up by Bree, who is the KTAR broadcast engineer. Weekly, we generate an article that you can get into your email box by logging on to a subscription at rosieonhouse.com. And we write articles that pertain to what you should be thinking about or doing seasonally about this time of year. Every article is fresh each week. And this week, we timed it perfectly. I guess perfectly, this article would have come out last week before the monsoon storm hit and caused the damage that it did. 10 facts you need to know about water damage in, about, and around your house, which many of you are incurring or have incurred in this last storm. Lots of trees down. Let me just give you the worst case scenario, okay? You're in the house, and I was talking to my mom last night. She said, Rosie, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, the water was coming down so hard, I couldn't even see the street in front of my house. It was just a deluge. Well, in that deluge, should you hear the drip, drip, drip of a roofing leak, or you start seeing signs of a wet spot on your sheetrock ceiling, or worst case, the sheetrock actually starts sagging, don't watch that sheetrock sag to the point where it collapses. Get a nail, get an ice pick, get a knife, go to the lowest point of that sag and go ahead and poke a hole in that wet sheetrock. Be sure you've got a couple buckets prepared and let the water, relieve the water and the pressure that's collecting up in your attic, and build a bucket brigade with every volunteer you have inside the house, and get the water thrown out on the driveway or out in the backyard and catch all that water. It'll come down very, very fast. When you've got enough water to actually be sagging the sheetrock, you could easily have 20, 25 gallons worth of water up there sitting, so be prepared. But that's a much more controlled situation than if you allow it just to sit up there to the point where it actually brings the sheetrock down. That is a mess. It's a mess either way, but it's less of a mess if you control it a little bit. So controlling the water damage in your house. I want to give you all a little brief history lesson here. Now, we were talking about the twang and rockabilly music of the 50s in Phoenix when we were a city of about a million. Tucson was a city of about a quarter of a million. The housing boom that followed World War II and continued on and continues on to this day was initially begun by guys that had been stationed here during the war, kind of fell in love with the area, and are moved out from the Midwest or some other location. And they come here with the mindset that it never rains here. And so all through the 50s and the 60s and much of the 70s, homes were being built that totally ignored the fact that when we do get rain, it can come in torrents. And how do we build not only the house, but how do we build the lot and the entire subdivision in a way that that can be a managed situation? We never put rain gutters on house, ever, in the 50s and the 60s. And then as things started getting a little bit more crowded, people started thinking, maybe I should do this. And I'll tell you the other thing that drove gutters here in Arizona is all over Arizona, we've got this particular soil that has a lot of clay in it. And when it gets wet, it expands like a sponge. And then when it dries out, it collapses again. So it's constantly changing size. Well, if you can picture that going on underneath your house or underneath the slab of your house or underneath the foundation of your house, this soil that's swelling and heaving and then shrinking and collapsing, what that can do for the wear and tear of the foundation of your home. When we're called out by people, generally when they see cracks on their foundation, they call us and they say, oh, my house is settling. Could you come out and take a look at it? Well, really about 7 times out of 10, about 70% of the time, the house isn't settling. Other sections of the house are actually being pushed up. It's heaving. And invariably, it's a water problem of keeping these clay expansive soils wet. You've either added some irrigation systems or we've got a break in the system somewhere. So in keeping these soils, there's no damage they can do to your house as long as we keep them dry. So when we build the home or when we're remodeling a home, one of the things we talk to people about is let's take all the landscaping that's right up against your house and move it out a little bit. Let's not put things there that need a lot of water that keep the soil in about and around your foundation and your stem wall wet. You're only going to be asking for problems later. Create a dry buffer between the outside wall of your house and the first set of plants or hedges that need irrigation and water. The other way we keep that area dry is we install gutters and downspouts, and we take the water that's falling on the roof, capture it, control it, contain it, and direct it away from your foundations and footings. Keeping that clay dry will eliminate a lot of problems down the road. We're big believers in rain gutters and downspouts. If you don't have them, think about getting them put on. If you've got the option to move your landscaping away from the foundation of your home and not water in there real close, move them out there. And then you've only got to worry about the times when it's wet from the rainstorms.
And another reason people use the gutters now is for rain harvesting, right?
In certain parts of the state.
To capture it and direct it.
Yep.
And be able to reuse it. That's a great thing.
And that's a little bit of a science as well, too, because if you're going to harvest it, you're going to collect it. If you're going to collect it, you're going to store it. You've got to be able to do that in a responsible way that doesn't promote mosquito larvae and insects and bugs. So there are properly engineered products that you need to be able to do that and do that properly. Now, in the rain harvest experts I've talked to, some people in Maricopa County do it because they're just that passionate about it. But it really works well up in Yavapai, Coconina County, even down in Pima County that gets a little bit more rain than we do. I was reading just this monsoon season prior to this week's storm, Sky Harbor had yet to register an inch of rain this monsoon season. But yet Tucson had registered 7 inches. They were actually having floods in Yavapai and Coconina County around Prescott and Flagstaff. So the rest of the state was getting quite a bit of rainwater. And I was talking about these builders that came in from the Midwest all after the post-war housing boom. You know, they came, and there were entire subdivisions built with flat roofs. Now, I'm not talking about low-pitched roof, and I'm not talking about slightly pitched roof. I'm talking they had entire subdivisions in Arizona built with flat roofs. Now, how much sense does that make? And they ignored the fact that we do get rain. So water is the number one problem for home maintenance and home repair in Arizona, and it took us years to figure that out.
Quick question.
Yep.
So even our flat roofs now, though, have some amount of pitch to them.
All right. We like to see at least a quarter inch to the foot. Some go down to an eighth, but really that leads to a lot of ponding and puddling. So we like to see all of our what looks like a flat roof actually pitched 1/8 drop for every foot that it runs. That's just enough slope to get the water off the roof. So once we've got this water collected and we're sending it through gutters and downspouts, what are we going to do with it, and where are we going to send it, and where are we going to go with it? And that is a serious problem, particularly in the tighter the subdivision that you are in. How many of you have been victims of something your neighbor has done that's slightly higher than you? All they had to do was some small little insignificant landscaping change in the backyard, and it drastically changed the drainage pattern for their lot, and consequently it ends up on your lot. So we've got to find a way to contain the water. And most municipalities and most building departments would like it if we could all contain on our property the water that falls out of the sky. So you're not diverting it to the storm sewer in the street. You're not diverting it to the curb, and you're certainly not diverting it to your neighbors. Well, that takes a lot of planning. And the tighter lot you're on and the smaller back patio you have, the harder and harder it gets to do that. So you've got to be very careful about the surface drainage and modifications or changes that you make once you get in the house. We have people that got flooded in the rains in the winter. They'd been in the home 20 years. They hadn't changed anything. But after a little research, we found out that neighbors had changed a couple of things, caused a flood in their house. More on what you need to know about water and storm damage right here at Rosie on the House. The lines are open if you'd like to give us a ring, 1-888-767-4348. As well, we'll be checking in with Romy, who's up at the Crawfish Festival about 10:30. This is almost a song I could sing.
Almost.
Almost. Welcome back to Rosie on the House, where we're talking managing the water and wind damage in, about, and around your house. You know, there's nothing we hardly look forward to. As a longtime resident of Arizona, you get the May, you get the June, you get the July, and you just start waiting for that monsoon season to come to get the refreshing afternoon showers. And there's nothing worse than knowing you've got a house that's not prepared for it, because you look out on the horizon and you see that monsoon. What is that color? Is that a blue-gray, that monsoon blue that you know it's coming, the rain's coming 15 minutes before it hits you? You can smell it, the breeze drops. And this is after, you know, the dust storm's already blown through. But you really love to be able to enjoy it. When it hit our office yesterday, I was just sitting on the back patio, just walked out on the back patio and just enjoyed it.
Is that Thursday, actually?
Thursday.
You know, and Carol and I were actually outside as it was building up, and we kept checking our weather app to see if there was rain in the forecast. There was none, but it's so spotty. You really have to know how to read the sky. Hey, did you see on Facebook this? We have a Facebook fan, Dolores, out of Rio Rico, and she posted a picture of her house. And though she got no rain in her area, she lives right on the edge of, I guess you've seen her place, or
if it's the house I'm thinking of.
She lives right on the edge of a wash. And that wash, she could hear it coming, and then she's videoing it, and you can hear it, and it's by the end of the video, it's a roar, you know? So water's kind of tricky.
It is, particularly in about around the hills as well, as we've learned very tragically just a couple of weeks ago. But that Dolores's flooding wash you have on Rosie on the House Facebook?
Yeah, you can see it there. And,
okay.
And you can watch this couple-minute video. But just, I mean, it take your breath away. It's so much water.
Yeah, and it can come quick, that's for sure. When you can hear it coming, that's scary. So we've talked about preparing the house. And we've talked about gutters, we've talked about downspouts, we've talked about managing the water, we've talked about drainage problems, about not pushing it onto your neighbor's lot, try and contain it some way with retention basins there in, about, and around your house. The surface drainage really can become a serious problem. And as you hopefully know, that water infiltrating your house by underneath the doors and by actual surface flooding isn't covered by your homeowner's insurance unless you have specifically flood insurance. So be prepared. I can still remember a client I knew in Paradise Valley bought this house, and they didn't like the fact that the side driveway entry had a little hump. As you left the road, you had to go over this, like, this little speed bump to get into that back side of the driveway. And he hated that thing, so he tore it out. And the next monsoon season, he found out why they had that there. Because the water came down the street, funneled right exactly into his driveway, right exactly into the backside of his garage, right into the kitchen area. And the house was a long linear kitchen, a long linear house. It was 100, as I remember, it was 170 feet long. And it had steps in it. About every third of the house, you step down two more step. This storm was so significant that with that speed bump gone, the water entered the house, in the door, in the garage, went in the kitchen, in the living room, down the bedroom hall, out the master bedroom, and he had to open the patio sliding door in the master bedroom to let the water out the backside, and it was like a little triple waterfall running all through his house. So you got to be careful about that surface drainage. Take a good look at what the water does before you start modifying anything.
One kind of the flip side of that as well.
Yes.
Is, you know, you're trying to get the water away from your house, keep it on your property, you know, right. And we get it so spotty and it comes all at once. We've had on the air a couple of times with this watershed management group.
Yeah.
And they actually have consulting available. You can call them. It's their watershedmanagementmg.org, I think. But they'll come out and help you kind of look at your yard, put that water where it's going to help your plants, but keep it away from the house. And even they even show you how to harvest it from the street. You know, you watch that water run down the street, you know, how to just cut out a little bit. Maybe it could water your trees or whatever. So there's all kinds of angles to water.
So we're talking about our blog that we posted today. It's on RoselleInTheHouse.com, 10 Facts You Need to Know About Water Damage. And so we've talked gutters, drainage. Now, how about existing water leaks? You know, I've had homeowners call me and actually be disappointed that the insurance company isn't going to cover the plumbing leak that was in their house. Well, invariably, that's because they found out it was due to your lack of maintenance, that particular homeowner's lack of maintenance, and it was actually leaking for years and years and years. Now, you generally have a leak. Most homeowner policies will cover it. But if they determine it's caused by deferred maintenance or no maintenance, or it had gone on for a long, long time, there's a lot of insurance companies that'll argue with you and fight you on covering that. So you got to be careful about that. Stay tuned to what's going on in, about, and around your house. I want to talk a little bit about flood insurance. I want to talk about tree damage. How about fallen tree removal? Backed up sewage, that's always a problem. And then what about falling trees in your yard? Are those covered?
Whoa, whoa, cherry, na na na, cherry pie, na 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 na, cherry, na na na, cherry pie.
Skip and flip. Jennifer, you thought they sounded like the Beatles?
Was it this group? I don't think it was.
Oh.
I'd have to look at my list.
Skip and flip. Some of the Arizona artists recorded twang and rockabilly music in Phoenix in the 50s. That was our 7 o'clock hour this morning. Had a lot of fun with author Jim West and his book, The Sound of Phoenix. But this hour, we're talking about 10 facts you need to know about water damage in, about, and around your house, home, castle, or cabin, in particular as it relates to what we're seeing, like just this past week in the monsoon weather. But before we get back to that, I'd like to run up the mountain and bring Romy into the conversation. He's our roving reporter today, reporting from the Crawfish Festival live in Heber, Arizona. Romy, what's it look like up there? What's it smell like up there? What's it taste like up there?
Well, it smells and tastes like if you got water damage, you best get up here and you enjoy yourself because water damage in your house ain't fun.
Oh, that's for sure.
Oh, the barbecue grill's going. You know, he's got a, I won't hold it too hard against him. One of the chefs has an Arkansas Razorback flag flying, but his barbecue, it's all right. We'll accept them.
They can barbecue in Arkansas. You can't take that away from them, that's for sure. So you got a little barbecue. You got a little barbecue going on. What else you got going on?
Oh, they got kettle corn is popping. The crawfish are just getting ready to pull the first batch out.
Hot
and
dog.
Drop them in the cooler so they can soak up the seasoning and be just right when we start to start serving. I said, you know, close to noon we'd start serving, but man, lines started forming an hour ago. So as soon as they're ready, we're going to start serving here in about, probably about a half hour.
And those folks listening to us in Phoenix or Payson or up the highway there closer to Sholo, it's not too late to show up. Y'all still have plenty of crawfish?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know that we've ever run out on of crawfish at one event. Seems like we always belly up to about 300 or 400 pounds left over, and all the volunteers just eat till we drop.
So you've got the crawfish just beginning to come out of the water, beginning to start getting served. You've got what else going on? It's a great family event.
It is. There's live music. There'll be a DJ. They're setting up the tents for the food court right now. We have a family circus coming. They'll do face painting, stilt walking, juggling, and plenty of room to dance on the lawn.
And tell people how to find you.
It's really easy. Highway 260, Heber Overgaard. We're in Overgaard, east side of Heber. It's the last thing you see if you're heading to Sholo. It's the first thing you see if you're coming in from Sholo's. Bison Ranch, south side of the road. It looks like an old west town, painted up real nice. Cannot miss it. And there's a full set of craft vendors and kids like events out in front in the parking lot. Then the festival and all the food is through the buildings on the grass courtyard.
And y'all be serving food for how long?
Oh, till we run out.
And that goes till mid-afternoon, supper time? How late have we historically been serving food?
You know, usually right about till dark, it starts to get people turned out.
All right. That's Romy reporting from Bison Ranch, the Crawfish Festival. It's a great family event. If you've never been, they'll have food for you today. It's not too late. They did set a record at the number of pre-sold tickets that we sold to the event this year. I was really sorry. I'm not going to be. I think this is the first one I missed.
I think so, too. And Julia, our daughter that moved to Minneapolis, is missing it, too. She ordered 400 pounds of crawfish from Louisiana to be delivered to Lakeville, Minnesota, and inviting friends over for slip and slide and crawfish. So you can have your own event, you know?
Have your own crawfish festival. Very good. Well, thanks, Romy. We appreciate you running up there. And I know you're working your little fanny off. That's always a big event, and it's a lot of work. When you have to boil 1,000 pounds or more of crawfish, you've got your work cut out for you. All right. We're covering the article of our blog that we publish weekly. It can be found at rosieonthehouse.com. We keep all of our blogs there. So literally, as I was talking about earlier, the website, rosieonthehouse.com, between the blogs that we've posted and the articles that we've written for the last 20, 25 years, and the questions we've been taking on the air and answering for the last 30 years, all of that is at rosieonthehouse.com. So I used to have people tell me, oh, man, we cut out your article all the time and we put three-hole punch it, we put it in a binder. I said, well, you don't have to do that. That we keep them all on the website, Rosie on the House, and they're just there forever, you know. So you don't have to print them out and three-hole punch them. But some of the people were doing that, and they would actually catalog, well, this has to do with the roof, this has to do with the drywall. I've seen some of those books. So it's great that the homeowners are learning to use us like that, because it's exactly what we're here for. From the day we first did our first radio program, our objective for the program is to become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. And then whatever it is you're trying to get done around your house, home, castle, or cabin, you'd start at rosieonthehouse.com. That's what we've been working on for 30 years, and we certainly appreciate all of you who report back. That little trip we took down to Casa Grande a couple weeks ago and actually had homeowners come and do a focus group with us, that was probably one of the highlights of my entire broadcasting career, just being able to meet that many homeowners that had that many stories about how we've been able to help them. Even the one staycation winner that shared her story of going to Flagstaff, that was a great event.
It was fun to have them.
We're going to do that some more.
Well, it was fun to have them sit with us. We were just amazed that they sat the whole 4 hours and joined us. It just gave us energy knowing, you know, having their input and their feedback.
Really enjoyed it. Well, so all of that information is available to you free. Today's article has to do with 10 facts you need to know about water damage. And we've talked about gutters and downspouts and harvesting and managing the water and controlling it. And that can also cause drainage problems, surface drainage problems. What do you do with that water? You want to control it, but you don't want it to cause, you know, you don't want it to become your neighbor's problem. So you've got to.
You don't?
No, you don't.
Okay.
You don't.
Well, I see something you missed on this article. You have 10 on here. I think I'd add 11. Being the pool girl at the house, the pool is a big deal at this time of year. Carol and I were out there diving down, pulling out wads of our neighbor's tree leaves out of the bottom. We have that little jandy that goes around and cleans up and everything, but it was so full of those big, long pine needles. Man, what
a
job.
It's a pepper tree.
What a job. Yeah. And we have Solar Safe pool covers texted us and said, hey, don't forget about me, because having that one of those covers over your pool during this time of year would just save you a lot of time. But you got to make sure that you're keeping the water chemicals level, because if you don't, it's going to turn on you in just no time at all. The water's already so warm. Then you have all this stuff swarming around, dropping into your pool. It's just a nice little place to breed things. So
that Solar Safe pool cover would be a great idea for, like, when you're leaving town for a couple of weeks in the middle of the summer in this kind of season. I mean, you just cover the pool up and not even worry about it.
Or for snowbirds. How wonderful. It just keeps everything clean and balanced. You don't have to worry about the chemicals. It all stays very balanced out. So, hey, that's my next wish list for the pool.
Yeah, you're thinking so, huh? All right. I was thinking fill it in.
Deck over. There's all kinds of things we could do.
That's right. So on the topic of the 10 facts you need to know about water damage, that one on swimming pools was not included in the article, but it was one Jennifer felt like I missed in writing the rest of this stuff. We talk about roof damage, and I'll tell you, it's an argument I get in often about what is the best kind of roof. Well, so much of that depends on the architecture of the house you're accomplishing. On flat roofs, I've been a fan of foam for a long, long time. You do have to maintain it. You have to get up there and check it every once in a while. A lot of the foam roofers actually build the maintenance and the visual inspections into the price of the roof so that they can come by on an annual or biannual basis and just give it a visual inspection. But I liked the foam because it was a product that came out that actually stuck to everything. The plumbing vent penetrations that come out of the roof, the air conditioning ductwork that comes out of the roof, the T-top vents that come out of the roof where your exhaust fans are located in your bathrooms. So you don't have to worry about flashing any of those dissimilar materials. The foam literally stuck to everything. So it was a completely seamless application. You know, if you're a bird flying over a house with a foam roof and you're looking down, you don't see one seam. So it eliminates all those potential areas where the old conventional built-up roofs could leak. And not to mention when you're trying to dry in or flash the three-ply built-up roof up into a plumbing vent or the backside of a parapet. That's a weak link every single time. So the foam roofs are great for the flat roofs, the concrete tile for the sloped roofs. But really, a good three-tab fiberglass shingle is good for 30 years, 20, 30 years. You can get the big, heavy architectural dimensional tabs that can actually go up to 40 and 50 years. So, but if it's not in good repair, that's where the problems occur. So I would tell you, you know, if you have occasion to repair or replace your roof, develop a relationship with that particular contractor and just ask him, hey, how much would you charge me to come out here and do an inspection in May every year or every other year and just have somebody else get up on the roof with an experienced eye looking it over, because there's nothing more important than protecting your home than a roof that doesn't leak. And we've already talked about what happens when it does start leaking and that drywall starts sagging. You don't just sit there in your chair and bite your fingernails and cry like a baby. You get a couple buckets, you get an ice pick, a knife, a long 16-penny nail, and you poke a hole in that bulging sheetrock and you collect the water and let it drain and get it out of there. That's going to be a much more controlled mess than if you just sit there and watch it collapse and fall onto the floor.
I did have a caller this week, and she was looking for a roofer because she had water coming through her vent hood in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Is that just that something needs to be sealed up top? Or would
Not knowing anything about her roof, uh-huh. Not knowing where she lived, my guess is it's a flat roof.
Mm-hmm.
And when the house was built, they didn't extend that T-top up tall enough, and it's located somewhere close to a scupper. And the scupper's clogged with those leaves that you've been digging out of our swimming pool for the last week. And she was collecting water on the roof to the point where it actually went over the top of the T-top is generally what happens when you got water coming in your exhaust fans in the bathroom or under your or through your vent hood in the kitchen. It's generally, 9 times out of 10, a clogged scupper.
So just unclogging is enough? Or do you need to do more?
It becomes regular maintenance. You've got to get up there regularly and find out what's clogging the scupper with the leaf litter and clutter and stuff like that. Or the last time it was roofed, maybe the guys didn't pay good enough attention to keeping that as open as it should be. So that ponding water is usually what breaches those T-tops, and the water starts showing itself in those particular areas. Means you have a lot of water up on top of your roof. We'll get back with the last few tips on water managing and controlling and facts you need to know about water and storm damage at your house.
Well, now they call my baby Patty, but her real name, was Linda Lou. Well, now they call my baby Patty, but her real name, was Linda Lou.
Well, our broadcast engineer, Mike Reisch, is having fun with our music today. It all stems from our guest we had on at 7 a.m., author and local radio personality, Mr. Jim West, who has written a book, The Phoenix Sound, A History of Twang and Rockabilly Music in Arizona. You can get it at Amazon.com. We actually awarded five. We gave away five in the 7 o'clock hour. So. He actually signed them for all five of those people as well. So it's a great book. It's a fun book about the music industry in the Phoenix area back in the 50s.
What Mike doesn't know about that song, though, is that you're a one-line Louie. So if he keeps playing this, it's going to get stuck in your head.
That's all I'll
and
know.
And I'm going to be hearing these deep lyrics over and over again.
Really deep. Really. Hey, we've got some Diamondback tickets to give away. We'll do that here in just a minute. It's for the August 10th game against the Dodgers. It's a first pitch at 6:40 p.m. evening. Two great tickets right behind the dugouts with parking passes. So we'll be giving that out in just a minute. But I want to wrap up our topic here, the weekly blog. The topic has been 10 facts you need to know about water damage, preparing your house for the monsoon season. A pretty good little storm blew through here this week. Tucson's been getting some really good storms. They're way ahead of us. I understand that one of our favorite little corners of Arizona, Patagonia and Sonoyta, has received in excess of 8 inches. So, boy, that's going to – you know how green that turns all those Canela Hills down there? That turns into a beautiful area.
Can you just touch that topic of flood insurance again? I remember a couple years ago we covered this, and I had a woman crying because they had had their entire house flooded, and they did not have flood insurance. They didn't know that you had to buy it separate.
Well, a lot of people assume that flood insurance comes with your home insurance policy, but it doesn't. It's a completely different policy that you have to request and get coverage on. Now, you know, we have these maps that show where the floodplains are. And if you live in one of those floodplains, you must, by law, get flood insurance because the mortgage company wants to know that the property is protected, and should it incur damage, that somehow, some way, it's going to be put back into the order that it was in when they actually loaned you the money for the mortgage. So you'll have to get flood insurance. But I'll tell you what, if I'm on the edge of a floodplain, I'm buying flood insurance too, right? I mean, don't bet your against yourself. And it isn't that expensive. You know, some of the other things that homeowners insurance generally won't cover is if you lose a tree in your yard and it falls and doesn't hit the house and doesn't cause any damage to the home, doesn't take out a fence, doesn't take out roof or cause any damage, the insurance company generally won't pay to have that cut up and hauled away, and they won't pay to have another tree planted either. So you got to be aware of that. There are certain riders that you can get that could cover that kind of stuff, but it isn't included in the generally accepted standard homeowners insurance policy. So I want to thank our good friend Clay Jansen from Focus Insurance here in Phoenix for helping us with all the insurance questions. He's if you're in need of answers or in need of a second quote on your homeowner's insurance, I'd highly encourage you to call Clay. He's been he's a second generation friend. His dad actually wrote my first policy back in 1976. So that's how long we've been with the Jansons at Focus Insurance. Don't forget about preventative maintenance and keeping all the moisture in, about, and around your house away from you. Those kind of moisture situations do tend to attract termites. It's what we call conditions conducive. Let's make sure we're not encouraging the termites. They will tend to follow moisture. And so if you've got an ongoing leak, I tell people, even with the condensation from their air conditioning, I have an air conditioner in my garage. It's a mini split. And since it has been running in about May, I have collected over 110 gallons of water in a 55-gallon drum. And my dogs love it. So that feeds the water trough that waters my dogs. Sometimes they don't even drink it fast enough, and I've got to pour it into the landscape gardening. But the two air conditioners on my house are producing about 15 gallons of water a day when you've got 60, 70, 80% humidity or the rain falling out of the sky. That much moisture that you're allowing just to drip anywheres in your yard out of the condensate line of your air conditioner is a definite condition conducive for pests and termites. They will follow the moisture to find your home. Okay, we've got some Diamondback tickets we need to give away. We need to give it right now. And it's going to be to the first caller at our toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348. And here's what we're going to need to know. We're going to need to know who is the last Arizona Cardinal inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. What's his name? And when was he inducted? All right? First caller to 1-888-767-4348 wins two great tickets to the Diamondbacks game versus the Dodgers on August 10th. Hey, y'all have a great week.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.